Greetings, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast. With yours truly, your host, Link Flores, brought to you by Wandering One Studios. It is actually a fairly mild, I guess, as far as like the last couple of days have been, good Lord, but a fairly mild February 25th, 2026. Thank you, everybody, who's been supporting the podcast, however you've done it. Whether it's on Patreon by going over there and sending emails, by spending your $3 to support the podcast, by sharing it, listening to it, rating, reviewing, and all that jazz. Thank you so much. You guys are absolutely amazing. I appreciate it. Yeah, still on hiatus from Twitch over at twitch.tv/linkib. I hope to be back on Monday, March 2nd, but we'll see how that goes. Had some minor hiccups, which we'll go over and we'll get into here in a little bit. But otherwise, things are going fairly well. This time off of streaming has been interesting and fun and challenging and nerve-wracking and all the things. Feeling all the emotions lately. But I did pop in for a couple of quick streams here and there just to say hi because I missed everybody. I didn't go on a regular schedule. And I'm working on how I want to pursue streaming going forward. Lots of stuff that's shifting and moving, and all those pieces are kind of, you know, coming together, which is one of the reasons why I like to take these breaks, because it helps me kind of focus my efforts a little bit more. Sometimes it opens up some time just to take a break and relax. Been doing not enough relaxing, but a little bit more than I usually would. Yeah. It's been good. And so I'm hoping that I'm back and ready to go on the 2nd. If not, at the very latest, I'll be back on the 9th of March. But we're waiting to see how this thing shakes out. Let's just get into it. Man. I've been we've already gone through the tax season for a lot of us. Some of us are still scraping the paperwork together, and some of us will carry it right up until the last minute or even beyond then. But here we usually try to get ours done pretty early. So my rebate came back, and I started looking around at stuff and trying to figure out what are some ways I can effectively, you know, spend this little influx of cash here to... Here's the thing. I don't really do a whole lot of shit for myself. I had trouble just going and buying like my own, like, you know, we split the money here in a house, you know what I mean? But like when you get the tax rebate, it's like you do what you want to do with your half, you do what you want to do with your half. And for some reason, I keep still keep planning to do like home stuff. Like I pay credit card bills. If I'm buying extra stuff that's just on the side just for me, I do that out of that money. Throw a little bit to like a worthy cause or something like that, you know, help family member out, whatever I can do. But I only really spend a lot of it on myself. Matter of fact, I probably spent more of it just not having to dip into the family coffers for, you know, if I wanted some cider, if I wanted to go out and have lunch with one of my buddies or something like that, I put that towards that. I didn't even really buy, like, you know, normally I would buy like games or game equipment, but I didn't really need or want anything. Plus Xbox has been, you know, screwing me a little bit. And Nintendo's been very difficult to try to find physical editions of anything anymore because they just don't seem to want to produce and or ship them, which, let's be honest, can't really blame them, can you? Like, outside of like hardware, physical editions of games, even on those little tiny carts that they make for the Nintendo Switch, I mean, that costs money. You know what I mean? You got to package them. I'll be honest, Nintendo could save a lot of money on packaging since they don't do booklets anymore if they just made the packages like little cubes. Plus, they'd be adorable and they fit better in like a traveling case. That's just a suggestion. That's also just me. But my biggest thing is, you know, with Xbox and Game Pass being so far out of touch, I would say, with the consumer base, I've been gravitating more towards Nintendo for my personal game time, and even leaning into it a little bit more for my Nintendo Switch, you know, gameplay and stuff like that. I went to go and look up some stuff to just see if I could find something for the house. One of the things I've been struggling with is, I know I've mentioned this before, it's been a couple of months I've been noticing this thing, and it's intermittent, so it's not every day. But it seems like just about once a day, or, you know, every other day, when I run hot water through our, you know, drain into our garbage disposal, you know, that's the, you know, the one that goes out to the street, I smell soil. Like, the hot water hits something in there, I smell dirt. Like, there's a cracked pipe or something like that. So I was checking around to see if there's, like, a service that will come in and they'll scope the lines. For those of you who've never had to deal with this before, we've had to do it, like, once or twice in a rental property that we had, and we should have actually taken that out of our rent for the homeowners. They're going to get theirs, but... Yeah, when we did that, we found out that the plumbing was actually done incorrectly in the house, and it was going to cost the homeowner a couple thousand dollars easily to have the floor. This is crazy. They have to pull up the floor and the basically the foundation and get down to the pipes to address it. And they were like, we don't want to do that. So now we just had to live with, like, standing water sometimes in the shower, sometimes because it's what's called gray water. That water is supposed to go past a certain point, and then, you know, sewage gets mixed in with it and flushed out. Well, because it was so poorly designed, where the sewage would normally meet the gray water and be flushed out just naturally, it would backflow. And so sometimes we'd have sewage come up in our shower drains. You could smell sewage coming out of the you know, when it had that backup, when it get log jammed for the weird S bend that they put into the thing, you'd get this weird, like, you'd smell the sewage in the sink in the kitchen. It'd be horrendous. So I'm trying to avoid that, but I need somebody to scope the line to see what's happening and want to get it done sooner than later, because if that's the case and the pipes are jacked up underneath there, that's one of the things that the developer actually has to come back and take care of. The only thing that's worrying me is that on top of that, we've had, like, a lot of cracks in the grout on our tiles. We've had tiles crack, and it makes me worry that maybe there's something wrong with the foundation, and one day this thing's going to be a fucking sinkhole. But trying to find an affordable place that can do this is challenging, to say the least. And this is why I want to come down on, you know, FAQs for a business are bullshit. And also, I don't like, you know, when a company purposefully hides the pricing for their services, that actually irritates me. Because it makes it, I mean, it's very clear and obvious that you're trying to hide something. You know what I mean? You're trying to have a gotcha moment and be like, ah, this is what we do to you. And I don't respect that. And it's also disrespectful to the customer, because all I want to know is, how much does this service usually cost? You know what I mean? You let me know that right up front, I feel a little bit more confident, even if it is expensive and maybe I don't use your product. Somebody else might think it's worth that value. And it's like, yeah, it just, that kind of transparency is good to see. But I went to Roto-Rooter's website. I'm going to go ahead and call them out, because why not? They don't sponsor the podcast. But I went to their website, and that was what it was. It was a bunch of, you know, rigmarole. And these are the frequently asked questions. You got to be bullshitting if you tell me that one of the most frequently asked questions on your site is not, how much does this cost? I know you lying. I know you lying. Third thing in my heart, I know you lying. Because I know that you know, we all know that, like, housing repairs aren't cheap. That's why a lot of people choose to rent rather than purchase a home. Because, you know, hey man, if this gets jacked up, the super or the landlord's got to fix that shit. It's not on me. You buy a house, everything is your problem. You know, no matter what happens, it ends up falling on you somehow. And so I was looking, and I'm like, you know, this is kind of a sneaky tactic to make me have to go and, like, dig through your whole price schedule and then call for an estimate, which you're going to charge me to come out and look at this thing and then be like, well, if we're going to do it, it's going to be this much money after this. And we're still going to charge you for coming out, even if you don't use our service. Man, fuck you. So I'm on the lookout for, like, a decent plumbing service. And the scary thing is, we actually had a plumber come to the house once, and this is what's crazy. You kind of want to go with, like, a nationally reputable chain, but this is what they do. They bury all that price scaling, you know, behind a bunch of menus. I'm like, just put it right out front, bro. Like, say, hey, look, if you need X drain done, it's going to be about between this and this. Even if you gave me a range, I'd be like, I'm cool with that. If you have, like, a specialized service, like, you know, running a scope down a drain to see if there's a crack or a pipe or a blockage, you could put that out there and be like, hey man, for just to come out there and do the service, we charge this. If we have to do anything else, it's as needed. and the price will change and it'll be between this and up to, you know, whatever, you know, kind of thing. You don't even have to put a cap on it. It could say, you could say it's like, we start at like, you know, $300 and then it goes on up depending on which of these services you need. I'd respect that even, but they don't do that. So now when we were thinking about that, once we were going to go with Roto-Rooter and then we had somebody like, I think it was like Craigslist or Angie's List or one of them lists where you go for a contractor to come and do some shit. And the guy stole our credit card information and then used our credit card. And so we had to fucking file a police report against him. We had to file it against the company. I guess he was like I think he was actually a subcontractor of that particular company. They're like, he doesn't work for us full time or proper, and we're firing him. And I'm like, and no, we're going to pursue fraud charges too. Like, all right. They weren't going to argue with it. You know what I mean? What are you going to say? No, please don't. I'm like, well, it's you guys, this is your fault too, because you hired him. So got to eat that one. But yeah, FAQs, man. Like, answer the actually frequently asked questions, bro. Don't play around with this. Oh, nobody ever asks us how much the services cost. Bitch, please. You should have a pricing list out there. You know what I mean? And even if you say like, hey, these are estimates. Again, it's a more respectful, more upfront approach. You could say like, oh, we estimate it'll be $150. When we got here, it's actually going to be $250 or $300. I'd be like, you know what? That's shitty, but at least I knew it was starting out here. So I knew it was going to be more, you know? We kind of come to expect that from, you know, people in, unfortunately, you expect that from people in the construction industry, you know, any of these more specialized services that deal with like systems or whatever in your house, like electrical, HVAC, plumbing, lawn care, you know, roofing. We always expect them to gouge us, which we shouldn't. You know, we should hope that people would be, reputable and upfront and honest in their dealings, because it instills customer confidence and it builds a rapport with the customer to be like, yeah, I know it's going to be costly, but I don't feel like I'm getting taken for a ride. That's not how it works, but ifs and buts, right? We can always wish. So I mean, that was kind of bugging me, and I was like, man, I don't want to fucking deal with this, but I got to deal with it now. I had to also deal with one of our skillets that we got. These are not cheap skillets, by the way. They're made out of a surgical stainless steel. We've talked about them before in the past. One of the seals on the bottom of the large skillet came loose or something like that and was starting to take in water. So I started to cook with it the other day. I was just heating the skillet so I could get ready to throw some meat into it. And, if you're cooking with stainless steel, if you're familiar with it, you want to get the pan hot before you add anything to it, because especially a meat, you want the meat to just go straight onto the stainless steel. Same thing with like cast iron. You know, a lot of people throw butter and stuff in there, and that's cool, but the problem is that that plus the extra fat from the meat can sometimes make it almost impossible to clean later. So you just want that meat to hit the skillet fresh. I went to go heat this thing up, though, and I heard this like almost like tea kettle whistling coming out of it, and I see water bubbling out from underneath, and I'm like, oh, turn that off, and then walk away from the kitchen, because what happens is this is a stainless steel shell, two stainless steel shells that are pressed together with a copper core or an aluminum core in the middle. That's what conducts the heat and holds it, so it cooks the food, but there's space in there. And especially if this little seal has kind of come loose and water's gotten in there, now you've basically created like a pressure cooker, which this could be a bomb. You know, if you heat this thing back up again and that thing decides to pop off, the hot metal plus whatever water's in there is coming right out at somebody. So then you got that, and you got to worry about it. What if it cracks we have a convection, we have an induction range top. So if it cracks that, it breaks the glass. Now we got to replace the entire friggin' stove. So that's useless for however long it takes. And we got to get that out of our pockets. You know, try to take the company to court for it or whatever, or battle them over the damage of your induction top. Then they're going to fight it. And it's another whole mess. Now you got what could have been an easy, it's a lifetime guarantee replacement. Now you got to deal with, fighting them. Hey, your pan blew up my kitchen. They ain't going to want to pay for that, you know? So I yanked it off, let it cool, and I'm going to have to go and ship that shit back, which I'm not happy about, because I got to call them and deal with that. But the good thing about them is, because it's, they know how expensive these pans are, it's a lifetime guarantee. We only had it happen once. One of them shipped and it got damaged in transit, which was nobody's fault, but they shipped us a new one out, no questions asked. And they even gave us a return label to ship it back to them, so we didn't have to pay anything for that, which is brilliant. But yeah, and I'm gonna have to call them today or tomorrow and just be like, I need you to send me another one of these skillets, my guy. Like, this one just like, whoop, if I turn this thing on and it blows up, you're gonna have to pay for a stove. So, but yeah, I mean, those are just little things, but it's like, it's scary how something like a, something so little and seemingly insignificant can ultimately become a catalyst to a much bigger problem, right? It can be like this, the starting point for a much bigger problem further on down the line. And that actually is a pretty telling, because it's so funny when you think about it, like some of the smallest things can cause like huge, like it's a ripple effect, right? You know what I mean? Like somebody just slipping off a snowy embankment can cause a shift in the ice and snow on a mountainside and causes a small avalanche or something, you know? Like a single, you know, drop in the ocean, you know, makes a ripple in a wave, right? Or like even just a, like we'll take a tsunami, a crack in the earth's crust for a little bit can cause a wave that ends up turning and flowing and becoming a tsunami. Like the weird, seemingly small or seemingly that shouldn't be a problem things end up becoming a real big fucking problem later. And it's crazy how that happens. And I think that that's one of the things we look at just anything around us that kind of, I keep saying kind of, it doesn't kind of. It's one of these phenomena that correlates really smoothly into just everyday problems, everyday life, you know, and multiple situations, no matter what you're looking at, right? I think for me, one of the things, we'll talk about some sports, get that out the way, because, you know, Super Bowl came and went. Congrats to the Seahawks for beating the Patriots. Good on ya. Congrats to Bad Bunny and all the people who had a great time enjoying the Super Bowl halftime show. Great for you. Lots of love, lots of laughter and ha-ha, you know, finger pointing at the Turning Point USA bullshit pre-recorded halftime show. That's never not going to be funny. A party full of charlatans and liars and you expected it to be a live performance? My guy, come on. I was actually really blown away when the news came out that they had pre-recorded it. That is so sappy and so sad. But yeah, I'm looking for another sport to watch besides football. I know that comedian Bill Burr has his own podcast, the Monday Morning Podcast, where he talks about, like, he gets into MotoGP racing. For those who don't know, motorcycle racing. And watching some Formula One on the off season when football's not around. And I do enjoy motorsport. I'll be honest when I say I don't completely understand the way it operates. Even though I've seen it my whole life, I never really got into it. So I don't understand like the minutiae and the nuts and bolts, not to be punny about it, of motorsport racing. But I really do enjoy the, you know, the sounds and the dynamics of it. I think it's very interesting. And for a while there, I was starting to lean into hockey. Like I was like not go all the way in. I was dipping a toe into the rink, right? And just putting a toe on the ice and be like, it's not so bad, is it? With a former friend, I went to go and see a game for the Jacksonville Icemen. And it was a cool experience. I mean, we were up in a box, so we couldn't really be like, close to the ice or anything like that, which I'll be honest, I wouldn't have wanted just because I've seen what happens when a puck comes off the ice and hits somebody in the face. It's a bad scene. So I didn't actually mind watching it from way up there. I would have probably preferred to have some of the little tiny binoculars like you see at like horse races and whatnot. But it was, I mean, it was cool. I think hockey's fun just to watch. It's like Cedric the Entertainer said once, it's like hockey's cool because they let you fight. But yeah, I was thinking about it and I was like, you know, well, this is now, we're in the Winter Olympics season. Maybe I'll watch it. I don't know. I never really bothered watching a hockey game unless I was live or unless it was on and somebody was like, I'm not changing the channel. You know what I mean? If it's at a sports bar and I see it, I'll take a glimpse, but I never really cared to watch. And it started getting me to thinking like, I mean, who else really watching the Winter Olympics? I think back to even when I was a kid and like, you know, I was more, you know, I was more involved in sport, more invested in sport. And I remember thinking like, you know, the Summer Olympics are where it's at. Those are the sports that everybody plays, you know, those are the sports that at least everybody can kind of get down with or understand or, you know, appreciate. But like winter sports always seem to me just like whose country's got the most rich people who, you know, slide down mountains fast. That's kind of most of what it is. And I know that seems a little reductive, and it is, but at the same time, it's not entirely inaccurate, right? Like, which country has the biggest population of rich people who got nothing better to do than to strap their feet to a board or, you know, a sled or whatever and just throw themselves down a mountain? Like, I don't get it. I've never been skiing. I think the closest I got to any kind of winter sport was once I went ice skating with the date that I went on when I was like 14, something like that. That's probably the closest I've ever come to any of that shit. But I'm like, who is watching the Winter Olympics? Little did I know, and I guess I probably should have guessed because of the current political climate across the world that this year's Winter Olympics was going to have more drama than the first season of the Kardashians, bro. Like, so much shit has gone on in the Winter Olympics. It's crazy. It's crazy. You got members of Team USA coming out in open protest against the United States government and their and ICE and the Department of Homeland Security. And then, of course, you know, now you got the people who are like, shut up and just ski. And I'm like, no. Let them cook. I do respect the fact that, like, at the very least, and it's only because it's coming against them, right? But like the really shitty conservatives and MAGA Republican people are keeping that same energy they had for Colin Kaepernick, for the young white kids that are out there saying this is wrong and we shouldn't be doing it. They're at least keeping that same energy consistent, which, I mean, at least they're staying on brand, right? And it's like, oh, we don't care. Anybody can get it as long as you don't talk about America. Or don't talk about Orange Jesus. Like, all right. I'm only doing the Southern accent because I live in the South. But you know what it is. But yeah, Team USA has been pretty outspoken in large part. Mostly like the skiing and snowboarding communities. And even our you know, figure skaters and ice dancers have come out and said some stuff. And I was like, yo, this is actually pretty cool. And maybe the kids are going to be all right. And then the USA women's hockey team goes on to win their gold medal. And congratulations. I'll be quite honest with you. In a lot of instances, women's sport is just way more entertaining to watch. And no, it's not just because they're women. But there's more aggression on the court, like as far as like the play is concerned, like on the court, on the field, on the slopes, whatever, there's way more of a purely competitive spirit, I think, than you see in a lot of men's sport. And it's kind of disappointing in a regard, because you want to see everybody competing at their highest level. And for the guys, it's a lot of peacocking. For the women, like, we in this shit for the love of the game. And that is truly motivating to see. And with that said, congratulations to the USA women's hockey team. And I would say congratulations to the USA men's hockey team, except that after they got their gold medal, which should have been a wonderful event, you go back to the locker room and there's, you know, fucking look around two corners at the same time, bug-eyed Cash Patel chugging beers and acting a complete fool. He's doing his Pete Hegseth impression with the members of the USA men's hockey team. And I'm like, that is so gross. One, he's a sloppy, drunken mess, which is not what you need for somebody who's going to be like deputy director of the FBI. Come on, bro. Have a scotch in private in a suit like a gentleman. What the fuck was that? And then they called Donald Trump so that he could basically poke fun at, well, I guess I have to now invite the women too now that they've won. And everybody's like, what a stupid, classless kind of look. We've heard the whole locker room talk thing from Trump before, and, you know, his, you know, defenders and, you know, sycophants. But there's something about like Olympic sport that should have, I would hope, have at least elevated that conversation a little bit to where we're like, hey man, this is about the world stage, not just about American politics. So maybe you don't get to come backstage or back, not backstage, but like back into the locker room with us. Like we should keep that separate from what we're doing here because already the world don't like us. That's a given. That's off rip. And because of this administration, they're even more pissed off with us now. So the last thing you need to see is a bunch of the athletes that are supposed to represent the country gallivanting around with one of the worst and most wasteful pieces of shit in the agency, in any kind of, or I say, organizational structure in the United States government, in Cash Patel. And then that little jab at the women's team was like, nah, son, that's not, y'all are supposed to be Team USA, right? He should have been like, hey, whoa. It's like, you should invite them first, they won first, or something like that, but nah. Again, just, you know, a bunch of fucking dudes being dudes in like the worst dude ways possible. And yeah, the women's USA team was like, we're not coming to the White House. Fuck you. And good on them for that too. And they better stand on that business because yeah, fuck them. They don't deserve the presence of these champions that went out there to represent this country to basically be looked at like, and I guess you girls are cute too kind of shit. Fuck out of here. Here's what's really fucking frustrating to me too, though. I did a little digging because I heard this. Two of the people on the USA men's team, Jack and Quinn Hughes in particular, Jack Hughes, who scored the winning goal for Team USA, their mother, Ellen Weinberg Hughes, was a former professional hockey player and is currently a consultant for team development for Team USA, the women's team, women's hockey team. And when she saw her sons acting a fool like that, and she was asked, like, on, I think it was on the Today Show, they were like, how do you feel about the way that, you know, the USA men's team comported themselves when Trump made this joke and kind of like at the expense of the women's team? She goes, well, I think in the end, it's really just about the country. Bullshit. If it was just about the country, they would have said something too, but they didn't. And the only reason you're not saying anything is because you're getting a check from Team USA. I don't know how much for how much longer, because if I was her and I saw that disingenuous kind of write off of that commentary or criticism, I'd have been like, nah, we got to go another way. You just lost your job. Why? Oh, we're looking in a different direction. We want somebody who's a little bit more along the ethos of the USA women's team. Is this about my sons? Hey, man, that's, you can think whatever you want, but you know what I mean? And I get the idea of a mother wanting to defend her kids. That's one thing. But she didn't come out and say anything about her boys in particular. And I also get the idea that, you know, a parent will sometimes, you know, save face out in public and be like, don't nobody say nothing about my babies. And then they get them behind closed doors. Like, what the fuck you got me out here looking crazy for? My mama would have done that to me. If she had seen me acting a fool, she was like, you know, sometimes boys just get in their heads and they're hanging out with their friends. They say and do stupid shit. When I got home, man, that belt would be lighting my ass up. I can't believe you got me out here looking crazy in front of these people. You know what I mean? Like, and I would have deserved it. So do these kids. That they're too grown for their mom to bend them over her knee and whoop them. But man, can you imagine? Like your mom is working for Team USA. She was a former hockey player. And then they just pass off women's. I mean, these are amazing hockey players playing at the top of their game to represent the country. And you just go, girls try to. My mama would have whooped my ass. That's what I know. And the men's hockey team's getting dragged over this. And good, because to hell with them too. Any one of them could have been like, hey, this was fucked up. Any one of them could have been like, I'm not going to sit here with this idiot Cash Patel. I'm out. Now they all standing there spraying beer in the air, acting a fool. Then they go to the White House and be like, hey, here, you can wear a medal, President Trump. He's sitting there like a kid on his fucking birthday party getting the first slice of cake. You played right into his hands, you morons. Each and every one of you should be ashamed of yourselves. Everybody who went there should be kicking themselves in the face right now with the skate on. Simple bastards. That's crazy. And I, you know, here's a fucked up part. I know the State of the Union address happened this week. I wasn't finna watch it. I should have. Part of me was like, I could have, I should have. But I know I'll get the breakdown on YouTube, or, you know, I'll pull up, you know, The Guardian or, you know, AP News, some more or less partisan paper, like, well, actually more like a less partisan kind of news outlet. And I'll get like a more reasonable, rational breakdown of all the wild shit I'm sure he said. But it should have been the STFU, not the SOTU. Because shut the fuck up, man. This dude. I heard somebody say this on a podcast recently. Like, it should be harder to get a podcast microphone than it should be to get a gun. Because words have so much power and so much weight. Which is one of the reasons why, like, even though I'll say some outlandish shit, I try not to come from a place of just pure ignorance or just pure derision. Like, I try to balance it out with some information and some fact, and even temper my own emotionality about a certain topic. Because while on the one hand, we do have our own opinions and our own emotions about things, on the other hand, I'm not trying to just inflame or just incite a conversation. Like, I do love the engagement. I love when people write in emails. I love when people have commentary. I love when we have debates. But I think a lot of times what happens is people tend to get so emotional about that kind of thing, and they forget that I'm not arguing against you necessarily. I'm arguing against the point. Now, if this is some truly deeply held belief that you have, we can talk about that later. But right now, here in this moment, I'm talking about the point. So, like, when you get mad and frustrated and start hooting and hollering and shit like that in the comments, I'll be honest with you, I don't get bothered. I mean, I could, but I don't. Like, I'll respond to you just so you know that it was not unnoticed, but I don't have to really get down in the mud with you and stuff like that. And if I do, just trust me when I say, if you deserve the dragon, you're going to get it. But, you know, it's one of those things that you got to be mindful of is, you know, how to temper your emotionality, you know, by using facts and logical, you know, logical arguments. You know what I mean? Even if somebody won't agree with you at the end of the day, the one thing you have to do is make sure that you stand on your proper business and don't let your, you know, your feelings get wrapped up in shit. And then now you lose any credibility your argument could have because you've allowed yourself to become so emotionally invested in making an argument and proving yourself right that you've forgotten to look at what the actual point of this whole argument, debate, discussion, whatever is. And I noticed it a lot with just in my life in general, but like people get, you know, so wrapped up in the finger pointing and passing the blame and shit like that, or trying to basically like carve out their little niche on like their little circle of I'm right island. And maybe island wasn't a great analogy, but you know what I mean? Like, this is where I stand and I'm right because I'm standing right here. And as opposed to being able to look at the fact that like there's more to the world than just where you're standing. You know what I mean? There's broader perspectives to be gained and to be understood and to be, you know, picked out, you know, and to perceive any particular issue from. And there, one of the things that comes to mind is the, you've probably seen this illustration before. It's like two kind of like poorly drawn figures, right? And they're looking at a six, and they're looking at like a symbol that looks like a six or a nine written on the ground. And one guy says, that's a six. And the other guy says, that's a nine. And it's like the real issue is, this is the way they started. The real issue is that, you know, everything can be perceived differently when looking from a particular point of view. And then another further breakdown was a more proper one, which is, no, one of them is objectively correct. Whether they perceive it a certain way or not, if this was written to be a six, then it's meant to be a six. If it was written to be a nine, then it's meant to be a nine. Seeing something from a different perspective doesn't mean that you can only see it from your perspective. One or both of these people should have actually switched perspectives and said, oh, when I look at it from this way, I see this, right? Even if you can't completely respect it, understand it, agree with it, you can at least acknowledge that this is a different perspective that you can have. And if you see that you're wrong, you have to be able to take yourself out of that I'm right, you know, island mode and go, yeah, this is actually a nine. You know what I mean? But a lot of people fail to have the ability to do that. And then here's the other thing. when they get cornered about it, they get mad, bro. They get mad. And I've seen it happen where just having somebody in a, we've had impassioned arguments just recently with the HOA, and I get it because it's a very emotionally charged situation, but you have to be capable of taking your emotion out of the situation and focusing on the facts. Because a lot of times what happens is people get so caught in their emotions that they end up having a cyclical conversation about the way they feel as opposed to about the way they should engage with the, you know, the point at hand. So, and I know it's weird for me to say that coming from the fact that this is just a wandering podcast, right? But there is a point to a lot of this stuff, to be honest with you. There is a point. It does end up going somewhere, even if we don't fully understand where it's going when we start out. But one of them that I had was, I saw this video online. It was a slightly older video, probably about like 5-6 years old, of a parody, you know, it's like a parody of those infomercials you see on TV, you know, when somebody's like trying, isn't there a better way to cook your pasta? Introducing the, you know, I don't know, whatever. It's like some other insert product here, right? There's always like a problem that's really not a problem, that, you know, is going to be addressed by this miracle product that'll fix it all for you. Matteo Lane, comedian as well, does a great series of these infomercials where he break down infomercials and kind of pick at them and be like, yeah, this is what it is. But this one was called the N-word pass. And essentially what it was saying was that you get this pass, you purchase this pass, and then you're allowed to say the word nigga to anybody. And then it's like, wait a minute, though. You break it down and it goes, well, not anybody. You can only say it to other people who subscribe to the N-word pass that you have, right? And they were like, there's even tiers to this thing. And so I put it in a Discord chat and I was like, well, what do you guys think about this? Like, should anyone have that pass? And of course, the obvious answer is no. You know what I mean? It's like, no, we shouldn't have the pass. But like, do you think that people do have it, basically? Like, do you think that's a thing that people have? And I think that there is, but I think it's more like along the lines of the video. And it became a spiraling kind of discussion about whether or not the N-word as a word should even exist. And I'm like, should it? No. In a perfect world, it never would have happened. But ultimately, it boiled down to, you can't tell somebody how to perceive their own reality. You can only show them what's there and then hope that they'll be able to witness what's right or what's wrong about it. Much like the example of the 6 versus the 9 being drawn on the ground, depending on how you look at it, you can objectively come to a right answer. And the right answer ostensibly is no, no one should say the word nigga. But those people who can are the ones who get to decide who can and who shouldn't say it. And then also, if you're told you ain't got it, you ain't got it. It's not up to you to speak for everybody because of this one instance. And the video makes it very clear. The guy who has the pass is a white guy who has the pass. He doesn't actually say the word in the video, but he's talking to another black guy who has it. And he's like, now I can say this to anybody. And the announcer's like, you actually can't. You can only say that to other people who are pass holders and at the same tier level as you. And I was like, it's perfectly elocuted right there. Like, the video answered all the questions. But it was more like to see like where people's heads were at. And it was an interesting conversation, which again, ultimately arrived at the same conclusion the video did. If I can probably find it and put it in. I know I have it stored somewhere. And you can write me what you think and what you think about the video as well. But what are your thoughts on this? Because this will be a very interesting conversation to have. But I think that it's another example of, you know, how something very small, which, I mean, a video like that is going to be incendiary, but it's a small thing. It's a thing that can just be, you know, one thing or another, can eventually spiral out of control and kind of blossom into like a much bigger, broader conversation. It can be a huge deal over time, you know? You think about that and you think about like, well, what about like, you know, these, the stuff that we're seeing in our, you know, socio-political spectrum across the planet, and particularly in America, because I live here, but across the world, you know, you're seeing small little concessions or small little oversights that go like, eh, you know, it or even they're not necessarily small, But it's a one, it's a singular moment or a singular decision in time that eventually spirals and spirals and spirals until it becomes a tornado. And then it's too hard to rein it back in at that point. You know? I mean, we've seen the destruction and the havoc that DHS and ICE in particular have wreaked across just the United States. We're seeing the pushback from communities and entire cities, entire states. The country as a whole has had. But these were incremental changes that were implemented until it finally got so big and out of control that people were getting shot for no reason. But now you're seeing some of the blowback of this, you know, and it's funny where it comes from. Angela Vergara is basically like a, how do I put this? She's a conservative, she's a conservative Latina politician. She's in Congress for another country. I think it's Colombia. And she's been kind of like, you know, pro deportations and stuff like that. And she's going to moonwalk it back now because a couple weeks ago, her son got picked up by ICE. And now she's all boo-hooing and sad and woe is me. I'm like, but she was all for it before, right? When the Trump administration was just picking up random brown people off the street and shipping them to CCOT. I mean, you were fine with it then. It didn't matter to you then. Why is your humanity suddenly coming to play right now? Oh, because it's personal now? Oh, but see, now you got to take your emotions out of this, though. You got to take your emotions out of the argument and be like, hey, man, deportation for one, deportation for all, baby. You got to stand on that business. Oh, it doesn't feel good? Yeah, it usually doesn't. Not when it happens to you. It sucks real bad. Valentina Gomez, on the other hand, I want to say she's Colombian as well. I mean, no, let me get this right. Let me not mess this up. Okay, so I was correct. I was like, there's something about it because it was a lot of Colombianas that were coming out. And like, it's weird that a lot of like, there's a lot of like people who believe that they're like, if they vote and act and talk and walk a certain way, they're going to be accepted by like white power structures, which we've discussed before on the podcast. And that pick me attitude, as we've heard many times before, comes back to bite them real bad. So not only did Angela Vergara's son get picked up by ICE and she's crying big ass blue tears about it, which I mean, sorry for your luck, but I don't feel bad for you. This is exactly the kind of thing that you've been, you know, exulting about and praising the Trump administration for in the past. Now that it's come home, those chickens have come home to roost real hard, except for the one that you raised. Sorry about your luck. Sorry, but not sorry. But Valentina Gomez, you know, she's operating out of Texas, but she previously was trying to pull these kind of stunts up in Minnesota, and they ran her ass out of town, basically. They're like, that's enough of this bitch. So she went to Texas, where she figured her right-wing bullshit would be more accepted, and she was right up until a point, until she got pulled off of the GOP ticket for the district that she was running in, and they were like, no. Absolutely not. Now, she is actually a self-professed Colombian immigrant, and she has a very thick Colombian accent, and she has that, you know, obviously she's very Latina-looking, you know what I mean? The dark hair, the olive skin, the features. You're like, this is a Latina woman, and then she comes out the side of her face talking about all this anti-Muslim kind of propagandist kind of stuff, you know what I mean? Talking about deportations and arresting criminals, and now they're like, look, I mean, it's okay when we say it, but when you say it, it's a lot. So she's been pulled off of their ballots. It was like, damn. These repercussions get a little tight. It seems that she's also currently under some kind of governmental investigation, which is wild that, you know, well, not really. Let's just put it this way. If you're MAGA and you don't pass the paper bag test, you're not one of their own. So let's just get that out the way. She's just light enough that she could almost pass if she didn't talk. But nah, once she starts speaking, they're going to find out. And it's a wrap on that shit. And we also found out something, too. It was recently, there's like this idea that, you know, of a large majority of Haitian immigrants. And I don't know, like we looked at the numbers for this and there's no real good way to confirm it. but there's a hard turn for Haitian refugees when it comes to like Haitian refugees, immigrants, people of Haitian descent who are here in the United States. When the conversation comes to, oh my God, I bit my lip one more time. This is the fourth time I bit my lip today. Actually, not today, in the last 24 hours. We're going to pause right there on this deportation thing, this Haitian thing, and just talk about that. Shit, that hurt. The hardest thing about biting your lip, and I know you're probably like, ha, 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 turnabout's fair play for talking all this shit on a podcast. I get it. The irony is not lost on me. But the worst thing about biting your lip is that once you bite it, that one spot is swollen. So it's always in your mouth anyway. Now it's all puffed up and your teeth are just going to find it again and again and again. So I'm going to record this podcast. I'm going to go sit somewhere and get like a cold beverage and shut the fuck up after it's done. So it's going to hopefully stop swelling. Oh my God, that hurt. I bit it last night, by the way. I'll tell you about it, how it happened in a little bit. But just putting a pin in that. Like, that was wild that that happened just then. Because I was just about to say they should bite their tongues, and instead I bit my lip. But when it came to the conversation regarding deportations, there were a lot of people saying, like, yo, leave Haiti out of this. And like, you do realize that y'all are immigrants too, right? Like, you're part of this conversation. The homie Reese Waters did another great video about it, and it was amazing. But like, it's so crazy to see like, oh, this doesn't apply to us. Doesn't it though? Doesn't it though? Because they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. That wasn't about y'all. I think that was really telling, and you'd hear people pop off with this every now and again, because I've seen it in my personal life, where especially, you know, real, I mean, we talking about real black people from other countries will come to America and have mad shit to talk about us. I mean, black Americans, but America in general. And in this one video, I'll link it in the podcast notes if you want to check it out. In this one video, this Haitian black woman goes, what are you, dirty black Americans? And we're like, ooh, no, you didn't just, the one dude said, no, you didn't just fix your lips to say that. I'm like, mm-mm. You watch the video, it'll make the back of your neck hot. Because I know I was ready to go through the TV after her. I'm like, these dudes are better men than me. Cause I probably would have had to lay my hands on her behind that. I wouldn't have actually done it, but that would have been one of those moments that I'm like, I wish, if I had a genie in a bottle of magic lamp, I'd be like, hey, my first wish is just to be a woman for the next 5 minutes. I'm about to wear this girl out like an old pair of shoes. She was so disrespectful. Like I said, I will link the video so you can watch it on your own time. And you can comment to me back on Patreon, patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios with your thoughts on it. But wow, that shit lit my ass on fire. I was real hella mad about that. But again, it's these small things, right? Like, you let a little bit slide here, you let somebody get away with this there, you know? Everybody thinks that just because you've done this or done that, like, you don't, the rules suddenly don't apply. And then she gets called out and dragged in the middle of this podcast. One of the other, there was a lady in the background, and she's like, what the hell did she just say? I'm like, uh-oh. One of those black American women was about to work you up. You was about to get got. Don't get beat up on the internet. Like, that's the one thing I hope never happens to me in my life, is to catch a video of me catching an ass whooping on the internet. That shit is forever. And imagine you get dragged, you got invited on a podcast, you say some wild shit like that, and you get your ass beat by the entire cast and crew. Yeah, it's a wrap on your career, bro. You might as well just go ahead and see if you can apply at fucking Costco or something. That's crazy. But yeah, like I said, it's those little tiny, you know, tick, 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 tick. We let a little bit slide here, a little bit slide here. Don't do this here. Don't say that there. Before you know, you got a big ass problem. And then when she comes out, dirty black Americans. I'm like, mm-mm. Mm-mm. It reminds me of an experience I had like around the time of the midway point through the first invasion, I'll put it that way. into the Middle East, and some dude, I want to say he was from Saudi Arabia, I think is what he said. He's like, yeah, he's like, you are not free here in America. He's like, I come here and like I can do nothing. In my country, I can walk outside with this beer, walk down the street and drink, and it's not the problem. And I said, motherfucker, you live in a monarchy. Around here, if you say something, you know, about like, you know, a political opponent or a president, well, it used to be anyway, this is back in the late 90s. You say something about a president or something like that, you might get in an argument, you might get your ass beat, but you'll live. You say something about the king, they're going to put you on state TV getting your head chopped off or something, man. And by the way, since you're here, why are you here? He's like, oh, I came here for an education. So they don't have colleges over in Saudi Arabia? I thought they did. He's like, yes, but the American education is better. I'm like, why? He's like, well, you know, he had a bunch of this, that, and the other how excuses. I'm like, but they don't have the same kind of textbooks over there? You can't get them printed in English? Why is it so important for you to come and get your education from America? Oh, that's right, because the little USA stamp on that shit means something wherever else you go. Anywhere else you go in the world, because you were educated here at an Ivy League university or something like that, that matters. It says something. It's a seal of approval on you. Ah, he's trying to get to that white adjacency then. If your country's so fucking good, why are you here? Go back. Go back. You came here to get away from that shit. Let's be honest. You could have gone to college anywhere in the world. You came here to get away from it. Why don't you go back there and fight for your country and fix it, make it great like America? If you think it's so great over here, you love your country, it's so fucking perfect there. It wasn't perfect enough for you to stay your ass there. I'm sorry, it's a little quiet over there on that bar stool. That's what I thought. Shut the fuck up. That kind of stuff irritated me. And it still does to this day, because I know America is very much far from perfect. But the idea that you would leave your place of residence, your homeland, come here and then shit on us as though we're your problem. And then we're a problem for you. It's like, but you could have been where you were at. I haven't left America because I still believe that there's a way that this shit can get fixed. I don't know how, but I have faith that there is a path towards fixing this country. But you didn't even try. So why are you yelling at us? And especially when it comes to black and brown folks yelling at each other, I'm like, wait a minute. Just remember, anybody can get it. Again, if you fail that paper bag test, anybody can get it. And we've seen now that don't even matter. They'll shoot white women and, you know, men for next to nothing. So anybody can get it. Is it really about race at that point? So why are we doing this? It's just crazy. I love that the Trump's tariffs are getting shot down. I know he's going to keep trying to push it through. But again, these are small little steps. And it's weird that like three of the justices he helped push through are the ones who are like, this is crazy. We can't keep doing this. And he's like, they're very disloyal to me. They're loyal to the country and to the Constitution, bitch. That's what happens. They're finally doing the job they were put there to do. Of all the times to finally stand up, they finally stood up here. I don't know what took them so long. If they were worried that they were going to get their houses firebombed or something. Because, you know, when people get crazy here in America, they go crazy. They go full bore. You know what I mean? They went after Gretchen Whitmer. They went after Trump down in Mar-a-Lago. You know what I mean? They killed two people. They shot up two whole families up north. We've talked about them before. Killed a wife and a husband, and then they shot up the one other family, and they survived. I think they just shot the wife, and she survived. Yeah, when people start getting, especially here in America, when people start feeling kind of froggy, boy, do they leap, and they leap with all 4 feet. So you might want to pump the brakes on this shit, and then I think that's what the Supreme Court was trying to do. I'm like, hey, man, you need to stop this shit. This is crazy. I was like, you're going to mess around and get all of us killed. I don't want to have them put a gallows outside of the Supreme Court building. That's not a good look for anybody. But these little tiny pebbles, I'm telling you, little tiny things are rolling. You got Andrew Mountbatten Windsor arrested, and he was released into royal custody, they say, and it's just, you know, it's totally not related to the Epstein list. It's because of some other professional misconduct he may or may not have done when he was serving as the ambassador to the UK. All right. You can tell that story to somebody else. I don't believe you. I don't believe you, sir. I don't believe you. But it's coming. The day is coming. Things are slowly starting to turn a corner. It is by little steps, and it will be by little steps, but it's just one of those things you got to keep an eye out for, man. You got to keep an eye out for it. It's coming. You know, we're thinking about, like, we're rolling back to, I talked about Reese Waters. I'm podcasting. I've heard so much stuff because of, you know, we've had Black History Month and Valentine's Day, and all this stuff is kind of rolled together. I heard somebody talk about this on Valentine's Day, and I think it was Reese Waters said something about, like, he said, keep your expectations of you low. Like, keep people's expectations of you low. He said something about, like, he doesn't do, he's like, you do this for, like, you know, a birthday or something like that. All of a sudden, next birthday got to be even better. And I think another mess podcast was, like, they were talking about, like, when you stop trying, that tells me that you stop caring. I'm like, ugh. There's a lot of that during Valentine's Day. Y'all put this kind of content out. But it was a little thing that one lady was talking about, like, yeah, she's like, I noticed that when we stopped hanging out, we stopped talking and doing stuff together, like, there's little things that would trigger off there, like a big-ass argument. She's like, and that's when I knew it was over. I was like, damn, bro. She's like, damn, y'all brought this out during Valentine's Day. They were really on it. I mean, it makes sense. And we haven't done a relationship advice thing in a while, so if you want to, feel free to write in. I'd love to answer those questions as well. But I mean, I kind of see what they're talking about. Again, in the context of little things become bigger problems. And most of the reasons why people break up, it ain't really even the big shit. It's just the little stuff that just kind of gets, like, swept under the rug, or it doesn't get talked about. It doesn't get addressed. And it just kind of builds up and builds up and builds up. And then eventually when it does explode, the big thing is the thing that people say is what made it happen. But really, it was a bunch of little decisions, or not decisions, you know, a lack of a decision, little actions or inactions, things that were or weren't said that end up snowballing into, like, a giant blowout. And everything comes apart at the hinges. And like, how could you? Like, I've been doing this shit for years. I just finally got to this point. So I got what they was talking about. I couldn't believe Reese Waters was saying it. Reese Waters is hilarious, though. That man always kills me. And the Mess podcast with Sydney Washington and Marie Faustin. That's where I heard them. They're awesome, too. I mean, check them all out wherever you see them. But yeah, it was crazy. Like, that happened during Valentine's Day month. I'm like, man, they really meant that shit. But it kind of ties in with what I was saying earlier. Like, smaller things end up having larger consequences down the road. And there's ways to mitigate those consequences if you nab it before it gets too crazy. But it means that you have to actually do something to change it. You know what I mean? It's like the same thing with me. Like, I was like, man, I need to go and get, like, a new pair of sweatpants. Because, you know, I'm put on a lot of weight. I fluctuate too. Like, I'll lose like 5 pounds in a week. And then I'll gain those 5 pounds right back. Plus another bonus pound or two. And I'm like, fuck. And I know one of the things I got to do to nail it. And a couple other things, dietary things I'm working on. I'm getting better about that. I'm adding more kimchi into my diet, more green vegetables, where I can find them and how I can get them. But yeah, man, I look at that. I'm like, man, you can't just run around the world in sweatpants. So now I start wearing jeans sometimes just because it makes me uncomfortable. And so that makes me do some push-ups and sit-ups, get up and walk, you know, walk around the house. When I'm walking out in public, just walk fast instead of, like, just kind of moseying along. Raising your knees up to your waist when you walk in your house looks ridiculous, but just pretend you're in a Monty Python sketch and you're part of the Ministry of Silly Walks. Don't goose step around your house. People see that through the windows, they're gonna think you're crazy. But there is an exercise where somebody's, like, just standing in place and just raising their legs, like, straight leg up to their waist. And I'm like, that is the thing I need to start doing more now. You know, kind of keep my hips and knees and everything in check, get your back straightened up, get your abs tight. You know what I mean? It's like, it helps keep your body moving. But it's little things, again, little things that can become bigger things. It's a good move. It's a good practice. You know, we're speaking of little things. Let's hit a couple Xbox things real quick, because I do want to talk about this. Some of you may have heard, if you're gamers, that Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond, who were previously, like, you know, basically, like, they're like the two top dogs over at Xbox and Microsoft Gaming, have left Xbox. I think a lot of it's come behind, like, public backlash over, they're not really saying why. I think a lot of it's public backlash over the handling of Game Pass. a decided lack of innovative or creative first-person titles, shipping a lot of stuff out to PlayStation and Switch and Steam. It's like, I know you're trying to make these dollars and make it make sense, but because you've made so many bad and stupid investments lately, people are walking away from the platform in general. Like I said earlier, like I'm playing more Nintendo Switch now than I have in the first two, than I did in the first 2 years I bought it. So it's a real thing that's happening. And I think that that's kind of, they're like, I don't agree with the way Xbox is going. Then they hired this lady, Asha Sharma, to take over as the CEO for Xbox and Microsoft Gaming. And Matt Booty, who you've probably heard before, is now their chief content officer. What does this mean for Xbox? Well, Asha Sharma has been brought on as like an AI development professional. This part of her work was working in AI development for Meta. Most of you don't remember them as Facebook and Instagram and, you know, various other properties associated with that branding of Meta. She came from there. So now she's going to bring her bullshit over to Xbox because they're actually actively talking about trying to find more ways to shove things like Copilot into everything Microsoft, which means, and it's shown up a little bit on Xbox already, they want to put it into your games. Nobody's asked for this, by the way. You know what I mean? Like, this is like the, let's say nobody. The vast majority of gamers are not on board with it at all. They don't want this kind of like constantly monitoring, constantly listening kind of shit going on. You know, it happens to a certain degree with like your phones and stuff like that. But when it comes to your Xbox, people were so mad about the Xbox Kinect on the 360 that they were returning it to stores. They were trying to sell it back. Tons of them. I remember how many, when I worked at GameStop, it was well after the Xbox 360's life cycle, and they still had entire shelves full of 360 Kinects. The Xbox One was doing poorly in its initial sales because they were commanding there's going to be an always-on, basically an always-on platform, I guess how to put it. Essentially, you'd have to have it connected to the internet at all times for anything to work, and people were pissed about that. They haven't gone back to it yet, but they're trying. With the prevalence of digital delivery of games and games as a service, you know, live service, they're trying to push everything to be online only all the time. Digital ownership is going up, and it shouldn't be, because when you see games that, like, you know, a studio falls apart or it gets sold or whatever, then that entire game's content just gets dumped. And those players are suddenly ass out for all the enjoyment they've had. Talked about it with Destiny. When Destiny 1 came up and into the conversation, they were like, we're just shutting out all the servers. Womp, womp, that happens. We're like, oh, shit, that's happening. Destiny 2, when they sundowned a bunch of content, then they had to try to struggle to bring it back, but they didn't back it up anywhere, so they lost it all. Yeah, womp, womp, that's just gone. So, I mean, and the other thing I think a lot of people are saying is, like, Asha doesn't come from a place of, you know, game development, game design, coding, marketing even. We'd have taken a marketing professional maybe even in that position of CEO of gaming, but nope, just works on AI. So people are very much dreading this. And there's some people who are like, give her a chance. Oh, we're gonna. But we also know that if you put a fox in the hen house, it do be eating a chicken or two. Even the most well-behaved fox is gonna take a bite. You know what I mean? So I think people just don't trust her at all. They're starting to trust Microsoft and Xbox as a brand way less. And it's embarrassing. But another content creator I'm going to mention is the homie Mighty Keefe. Now, I don't necessarily agree with all of Keefe's positions on stuff. I think, obviously, he's doing it for the laughs. And it is a largely funny channel, although some things I'm like, you lean a little too hard into this for no good reason. But on this one video, he does talk about the CEO changes. And I think he kind of hit where a lot of Xbox fans are standing. I don't like the idea of saying, like, how everyone felt. That's just, like, again, I try to avoid doing that as much as possible. I do fall into that trap occasionally, but I try to avoid making such a broad and blanket statement. But I do think that a great majority of people who are Xbox fans, probably even people who work for Xbox or other studios under that umbrella, were like, come on, dog. Come on, man. You know, they're like, I can't believe we're doing this right now. Have you learned nothing? And the truth is, they haven't. They have not. I will say that Ball X Pit is incredible. I'm very much on that game's ass. And I've been playing it a lot. I'm looking forward to, there is a projected physical release for the Nintendo Switch. I was going to buy it for my Xbox Series X. And just because if I bought it on my Series X, that means I could play it on the Xbox One in my living room. And then I didn't. Womp womp. So I will, I mean, I'll probably be looking at Ball X Pit for my Switch 2. My Switch as well. I don't have a Nintendo Switch 2. But yeah, that game is absolutely incredible. So shout out to the folks over at Devolver Digital. Kenny Sun and Friends is one of the development teams there that put this fantastic game together. One of my homies has already beaten it. It's, you know, it's been on the Xbox store noticeably for, I think, a couple of weeks, and he's already gone through it because he just does that. He beats everything in like a couple of days. I hate him, but I love him because he knows all the tricks and tips, and he wants to tell me everything. I know he's excited. I'm like, dude, stop. Stop. You keep telling me shit, and I'm fucking done. Stop playing this shit. I don't want to play it no more. It's like watching a movie with somebody, and they're like, hey, wait, watch this part. You're like, I'm watching the thing. I'm watching the thing. Relax. I'm going to see it. I synced it. Kind of thing, you know what I mean? And speaking of, we need to get into today's brutal game reviews. I want to do this again. I really do enjoy this segment. I think we'll cap it off with the brutal game reviews, because this is just, it's a fun way to close it out. But I mentioned that I got my full-blown copy of Rosetta Stone, and I've picked at some of the lessons right now, but honestly, I don't know anybody who speaks Korean. Because that's the one I primarily got it for. So Korean and Spanish. I know a handful of people who speak some Spanish, and not enough people who speak it consistently enough that I engage with on a daily basis to make it like to make it a sticking point for me. You know, like where I'm like, to give me some stick-to-itiveness. Because I just know that one of the biggest ways to build fluency is to speak the language on a consistent basis with native speakers or fluent speakers. But yeah, I'm thinking I might have to find like a, I don't know where I could go. Maybe it's a Blue Sky group or something. Maybe there's a local group. I can make like a Korean pen pal or something like that to like motivate me to learn and to focus on lessons, or somebody who speaks. I mean, I need somebody who speaks at least reasonably good English to kind of help me get through my incredibly poor and severely lacking, because it isn't there, Korean. And, you know, help me out with punctuation, or like pronunciation, sentence structure. Would be great to be able to write stuff, to learn how to write the language as well. So it would make it easier for me to read it and, it, you know, be able to have like a physical component and put some of these stacks of notebooks that I got to use and do like actual Korean lessons, like handwritten Korean lessons would be great. But yeah, if you got any ideas on how to make that happen, please send me an email, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Speaking of Wandering One Studios, I finally think I've nailed my issue. I had this conversation before, in between this podcast and the last one, where I was going to update my Clip Studio Paint Pro so that I could work on some new artwork and stuff that I've been trying to push together. And I got some really great ideas. I got some cool sketch stuff. And then over the last couple of days, I hit a logjam where I went to go and purchase the version 4.0 of Clip Studio Paint Pro. Clip Studio Pro. And it asked me for a login. And I'm like, I don't remember ever logging in. I mean, since I got the original version, it was gifted to me. I know I made an account at some point to do it, but I don't remember what it was. And it had been so long that I didn't have like the access to that information anymore. So when I went to purchase it, I thought, oh, it says ask for, you know, an email address, this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, cool. I'll just send it to my own email address and then I'll have it. And then I'll use the code in my, you know, whatever, you know, and it was like, this code cannot be used here. It's associated with another account. I'm like, wait a minute. When I put my email address in there, it just made another account for me. I didn't realize that was what was going on. So I ended up accidentally having two, you know, Clip Studio accounts. And after many emails back and forth with their development team, which I believe is between Korea and Japan, it's one of the two. And they're only ever answering at like 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm dead asleep. And the only reason I saw the email today was because I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning And then again at 6. And then again at 9. 3, 6, 9. Damn, she fine. All right. Anyway, I couldn't help myself. But yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm like, well, the license is purchased for account A. My original license was on account A. I accidentally made an account B and purchased the new license for that one. So, I mean, can I merge these accounts or whatever? They're like, we don't have that capacity. Sorry. But you have all the access to the other account. I'm like, well, I don't want that to be my account. I wanted to have done this other one where I had the version one license. So I was hoping they would be able to do that swip swap kind of thing. They didn't have that capacity. So I just fixed it myself. I just basically converted the entire account B over to account A's information. And essentially what I did is I deleted account A, but I already had my email switched. So it was like the same for both accounts. So I could log into it no matter what. And then when I logged in with the email address and stuff like that for account B, which had the version 4 license, it automatically updated to the version 1. It was like, you have that license and now you have this one too. Because I switched it over. I basically logged in with all my B credentials on the A account. And then I closed the, I logged in with all my B credentials into the A account, swatched everything over so that A mirrored B and then canceled B. So now I just have A and it works. So hooray for me. A very simple solution to a problem that I just got in my head about. And again, one small little tiny oversight. I made my own problem. And I'm trying to get out of my own way when it comes to shit like that. But now I'm back up on track. I'm going to be doing some more artwork this week. And hopefully I'll have everything set up and ready to go. Like I said, the worst case scenario, I won't be back until like the 9th. But I'm hoping I'll be back on time on March 2nd, like I originally projected. And yeah, so good things I think are coming. Version 4.0 looks really robust and rich. There's like a lot of great tools that are available. I'm really excited. And now, without any further ado, let's get into this week's Brutal Game Reviews, starring Speed Dates Winter Edition. Now, some of you might remember that I talked about how the Nintendo eShop has quickly become kind of like a Gooner catalog. There's a lot of very porny kind of games on that platform. A lot of those puzzle games where it's like, remember the little slide puzzles you used to see at like restaurants where it'd be like, you know, a bunch of tiles, you have to rearrange the numbers so they're all in order, kind of like that. But then it's like you reveal it and it's some, you know, AI drawn anime chick who's barely wearing anything, or it's a visual novel where everybody's kind of romancing everybody and it's super porny and there's weird stuff in there. Ugh, I can't do it. It's not for me. I mean, I'm sure, I know there's a market out there for it because they keep making them, but it's just not my thing. But it is funny to laugh at the reviews. And this one's actually one of those other kinds. And is a category of FMV dating sims. And this one, unlike a lot of the ones you see, which are usually from like, you know, China or Korea, this one's actually from, I believe, a Eastern European country. It doesn't really say. It looks like it might be, I don't know. A Scandinavian, no, not Scandinavian, like a Slovenian kind of country. Something Slavic, but yeah, the names are a little bizarre for me. I can't quite understand them, so I'm not going to try to attempt to speak them and ruin it for everybody. But essentially what you do is you go on a bunch of dates. There's about 18 different girls that you can date. And then you have to, you know, navigate your way through this game. I just love reading reviews of stuff like this because people are just so great. This one character named C Bands with a Z rates the game 5 stars. 5 stars, and the whole review is in all caps. Best game I've ever owned. I've never talked to this many women before. It's got 2 heart emojis, an okay sign, thumbs up, and a smiley face, and 3 checks. Like, so C Bands definitely got a good sense of humor about this game. Xeno Alex says 1 star, bad because I couldn't date them myself, and then just type the letter W in the text box, which is really fun. I couldn't date them myself is very telling. A lot of them are saying the game just doesn't play at all. That's kind of sad. And then it's like mostly critiques about like what the game is. Boring. Somebody said once, Joe Rockstar said one star boring, bored and delete. Seven Stringer Seven says one star boring, spoken Turkish only, very limited responses. Honestly, felt like a waste, deleted. Girls are cute, but gameplay feels like DVD navigation. Does anybody else remember DVD navigation when it had like the interactive menu you like tiled through and it was very badly done? Like that would be highlighted and they'd look all pixelated and stuff, and you press a button, then it would have like a weird animation, then it would take you to like the special features or whatever. God, that's great. I almost want to play it just so I could see that. Oh, that's awesome. But I do the best one still. Five stars. Best game I've ever owned. I've never talked to this many women before. So yeah, that was Brutal Game Reviews. There, like I said, I wish there were more, but I think more people than not are like looking at this and going, there's no way I'm buying this shit. And the funny thing about it is not enough people have purchased it to get an average rating. I think it usually has to be around like 100 so purchases. But so many people are reading the comments and the reviews that it's actually getting, so those are getting traction more so than the game itself. And by the way, this game sits solidly at a 2.75 stars rating on the Xbox Marketplace. This is a very, very bizarre game. It says, embark speed dates, where you control first dates with 18 attractive women in this interactive FMV game. Shape your story with charm and humor for a personalized romantic journey. Our main character, Murat, attends the speed date event and has only a few minutes to get to know the women and make him love himself. Me? Try to impress the girls in this adventure where you can experience today's male-female relationships in the most realistic way. Word? I didn't make a word of that up. That is the actual description for the game. So if you get a chance, check out Speed Dates Winter Edition on the Xbox Store and give yourself a chuckle. Watch the trailer. It's sincerely depressing. Actually, don't watch the trailer. Yeah, if you do watch it, I take back my recommendation. Don't watch it. If you can help yourself, don't watch it. But if you do watch it, just be prepared to laugh. It's kind of depressing, but it's very, very much not self-aware. They're taking this very seriously, which is kind of impressive and unfortunate all at once. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Wandering One podcast. Thank you guys so much for all the follows and likes and shares. Rate and review, subscribe. Obviously, you know that jazz. I say rate, subscribe, share, comment. Please hit me up over at Patreon. Even if you don't want to pay $3 a month for the Patreon to support the podcast, I get it. Go over there for free $3.99 and leave me an email. That'll be great support. Who knows? I get to read yours next time. And check me out on Twitch. Like I said, keep your eyes open. Twitch.tv/linkib. I should be back to streaming within the next week or so. And with that, love you guys. I thank you so much for your listenership. And please tell a friend. Drink some water. Wear sunscreen. It's starting to get sunny again soon, hopefully for some of y'all. If you're out there and it's cold, be careful. Again, drink water. You don't think you need to when it's cold, but do. And catch you guys a little further on down the road. Peace.